So for the past few weeks now, I've been doing a series on the book of Psalms, and we're doing chapter 23, which is "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm sure some of us can say it off-head. And what's amazing is today's subject somehow also relates to old age. And so I just pray that you'll be blessed today. But please, if you have your Bibles, would you open to Psalm chapter 23, please? Psalm chapter 23. Honestly, I can't wait for next week. I've been patiently waiting, but after today, next week better come so quick. And let's get the children to their rooms, yeah? They should learn on their level. But we thank God that they are here with us. Today I'm going to try as much as I can to relate with them. Pray for grace. So, are we all in Psalm chapter 23? If you do not have a Bible, there's one under the seat in front of you. And the Psalm 23 says, "The Lord..." Actually, let's all read from our passages. Just read it out loud, okay? We shall go on three, please. One, two, three. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercies shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Glory to God. Glory to God. This psalm is such a beautiful psalm that I want to really encourage all of us here to really make some time and reflect on it. Really take some time to study it. Because life is such a way that sometimes you go through it and you don't realize that, you know what? There's nothing on this earth that should move me or face me. But the enemy has his way of making us feel that there's no way out of this calamity on this earth with us. So please try and make time, reflect and study on this psalm. But I'm just going to share a few from my notes that I'm studying. I mean, I have finished studying it and I'm still going over it because I'm still going through it with you. I am already preparing for my next sermons and my next topics that I want to discuss with you and to share with you. God is teaching me great and awesome things. But today, let's come to verse 4 in this passage here. It says, sorry, please hold on. So I'm thinking I can't see well. Sorry about that. Thank you. Thank you. Please bear with me. All right, thank you. So the verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Shall we pray, please? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this morning. We yield to you and we surrender to you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, this morning, we thank you for bringing us this far. And we thank you that you are speaking to us today. We yield to you and we surrender to you. And Lord, we pray that anything that we have done or are doing that may hinder you from blessing us and speaking to us or from hearing you today, we pray you forgive us. And please take absolute control and authority of our hearts, our minds. And I pray especially for myself, asking Holy Spirit, my teacher, my encourager, and my comforter, that you will help me to clarify and to speak clearly that which you have given me for your people. And may they also be able to receive and live their life as you have called us to live. We bless you and we worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So in this psalm, I'm speaking on the subject, the gift of the shepherd's presence. The gift of the shepherd's presence. We've been talking about all sorts of topics concerning this. We started first with looking at the Lord as shepherd sustains, where he says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then we came to the second one, which was how the shepherd sustains, which says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Then we also looked at the Lord as shepherd leads. That was what we did last week, which says he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Today we are looking at the subject. The gift of the shepherd's presence. When the shepherd is with you, there is a gift that comes with it. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, we have from the beginning, we've been reading this subject, and if you've been journeying with me, it's always been very positive. It's always been very good. The writer here, David, is writing from a very impressive place, very joyful place. And this line here in the verse 4 is the first time we see him introducing negativity, introducing dark moments in life. And you see, this really points to a subject about life, that life is very good. Life can be very nice. Life can be very beautiful. But there are very difficult and very dark moments that come along in life. And you see, when those darkness and those difficult moments and when those situations that seem unshakable or unable to move come your way, this is where this passage here should be a passage you pay attention to. And I know as a church, before the Lord gave me this subject to begin to teach us, you remember I went to God. And I'm still praying about a lot of things that a lot of our congregational members are going through. And I went to God at the moment saying, Lord, why is it that our congregation is going through so much difficulties? And the Lord began to teach me and taught me how to teach you and all of us how to see him as a shepherd. Because many of us are worshiping him as our God. We have accepted him as our God. But we have not really begun to allow him to lead us. And so difficult moments comes. And King David, as it is now, is writing here. He has written such a beautiful psalm. He talks about the green pastures, the still waters of God. And then the next line that follows, he throws in some dark moment. begins to talk about difficult times in life. He goes ahead and says, the valley. Not a mountaintop or broad meadow, but a valley. You see, a valley is a low place between several mountains. So you go through a valley, a place where you are pressed from all sides. Difficult situation. A mountain is a very difficult situation to move. But a valley is a passing, a low side between mountains. And so this points that there are times and moments in our life or in our journeys where we go through some paths which are very difficult and very almost uncontrollable. You find yourself in a very uncontrollable position, not because you brought it upon yourself, but it has come and it's happening. And you ask yourself, when am I going to be able to shift this off? It surrounds you. It edges you. And sometimes it even hinders you from being able to move forward. It is a valley of shadow of death. This moment of shadow of death seemed to face David. You see, a shadow is a reflecting image of something. It is not the thing, but it is an image that comes your way. And so he's saying that this position is like a very difficult position of a very difficult image. It is not permanent. That thing is not going to stay forever, but it is in my path. It is in my path. It is in my path. It is a shadow of death. An image of death. And so the question here is, what is death? What is death? Death is a moment of separation. A moment of separation from existence. Or a moment of ceasing to exist. That is eternal. That's total death. And you see, when you take death, there are two types of death. There is spiritual death. When we talk of spiritual death, we go back to Genesis. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them instructions. He told them to not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And you remember last week, we looked at the passage in Genesis where God created this perfect world and Satan came in the form of a serpent and lied to Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit of the good and knowledge. And since then, evil has become part of us. But now, when the death of spirituality that we are talking about, as I'm talking about, spiritual death is remembering what God told Adam and Eve, that from the moment they eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good, they shall die. Which means that they will be cut off from a relationship with him. They will be cut off from a relationship with him. And so when you also take physical death is basically when this human body, the human system, ceases to continue. And so you find that one is described as dead when their heart stops beating and their blood ceases to flow. There's nothing you can do to bring such a person back to life. That person is physically dead. But you see, when one is physically dead, is that the end of life? Is that the end of human existence? Jesus gives us an indication that it is not the end in the story of the rich man and the poor man. whereby the rich man died and he ended up in a place, and the poor man also died and he ended up in a place. Jesus called the dark place Hades, and then he also called the good place where the poor man went as paradise. And this man who was in Hades was calling for help, and he was told there's nothing that can be done for him. And so life does not end. Even though our physical bodies will cease to end, there is life that continues after this, and which is still a spiritual journey, but the spiritual journey could mean a good one or a bad one for you and I. And that is something to pay attention to. And so, why am I taking my time to talk about this world? Because it is very important that we understand what the death that David is talking about here. And so, is David talking here about the spiritual death, meaning cut off or separated from God? Or is he talking about the physical death? In my view, he's talking about the physical death. He is never cut off from a relationship with God. He says, that's even why in the same passage, he says it clearly. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Then he moves on to the B part. For you are with me. For you are. David is saying, because God is with him, he will never be cut off from a relationship with God. God is constantly with him. And you remember the Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth and he died and he resurrected, he promised, he went to his disciples and he promised and he told them, behold, I am with you to the end of days. And so when one has a relationship, and in this view, as David is writing here, we can tell that David is not talking of the death that is totally separated from God, but the death that has an end to the human body. And he's saying that when that moment comes, he will fear no evil. He will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. You see, despite every dark association with the idea of the valley of the shadow of death, under the care of the Lord, his shepherd, David could resolute saying this, even in a fearful place, the place of the shepherd banishes the fear of evil. Every time, this is what David is saying, because the shepherd is with him, any kind of evil or fear that comes around him, he will not be afraid, because the shepherd's presence deals and banishes the evil. And this is something for us to take encouragement in. If we can only begin to have the presence of God with us everywhere we go, then we need not fear no evil. We need not fear what Satan would do. We need not fear what any demon would do to us, because the shepherd is with us. The shepherd's presence is with us, and which is also why it is a gift. Because if God's presence is with you, what else do you need? If the Lord Jesus' presence is with you, what else do you need? We all know from the stories of the New Testament, the Gospels in the Bible, how Jesus spent time with people on this earth. And while he was present with them, Acts says that he went about doing good, for the Father was present with him. He was so much moving in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God was so present with him that everywhere he went, he did good. There was no situation recorded in Scripture whereby Jesus could not handle a problem that faced him. In talking, he spoke wisdom. In acting, he acted in wisdom. In even how to behave, he behaved with such manner that was so unique and special. Jesus' presence on this earth touched everybody in a unique manner who came into an encounter with him. And so when Jesus is present with you, when you have the presence of God with you in your life, what else do you worry about? That is why the Lord Jesus teaches us not to be anxious about anything. Do not worry about what you will eat, where you will put your head to sleep. For your Father in heaven, he knows these things all. And Jesus goes ahead and says, he even provides for the birds. The birds. The birds who do not create, who do not do anything, yet God provides for them. How much more you human beings, you and I being humans. And so when God's presence is with us, it is a blessing. It is a life of transformation, which is also why we have our motto here. Transformation is here. Because we believe that when the Lord Jesus is present in your life, no matter what, no matter what the situation, transformation is possible. He can transform you from the worst situation to the best ever situation in life. You see, in my life, I didn't come, and I have said some already that my grandparents raised me. I have gone through many phases in life. Today, as I'm standing here, I feel like I'm in the most longest dream in this world. By Jesus being in my life, I remember that right from the moment in UK, while I was sitting in the congregation and the minister was speaking and my heart was burning and I needed Jesus in my life and I accepted the Lord Jesus. Since that man came into my life has become full of testimonies and stories of transformation. I am an example. Past people who knew me don't believe, yet still, I remember just recently when I went to Ghana to go bury my daddy, I met an old friend. He said to me, stop lying to me, you, Kwesi Bans, you can't be a pastor. He says, you can't be a pastor. Then my cousin I was with was saying, hey, Charlie, stop talking like that. He's a man of God. He says, man, I can't believe this. It felt like a movie to him because he knows my past. You see, we are never what the enemy intends for us. The separation from God, the evil that the enemy intends, the whatever shadow that is around us can never overwhelm us when the presence of God is with us. You see, right while I was preparing for this sermon, a writer says that wherever there is a shadow, there is a light. And so there has to be a light that shines on something to get a shadow. And he says that if there clearly is a shadow, then it is the light of God that shines on that. So you can go through that shadow. God is still a light in the midst of your most darkest moment. Jesus still brings light. You see, when there was no answer for human existence, when we were bound only for eternal damnation, total separation from God, and there was no way, the one light shined, and that was Jesus Christ. He came into this world, and now Satan is in turmoil because his plan has totally been turned upside down. Total cutting away from God is no more in existence because Jesus' presence is with us. You see, when we have accepted the Lord Jesus, that is the first moment the presence comes into our life. And when we now begin to walk with him as our shepherd, obeying him. We looked at the pasture and the still waters, and we talked about how the shepherd is looking to lead us to the best place in human existence, and which is God himself. When we begin to walk in obedience to God's word, and we begin to humble ourselves and submit our totality to the word of God, Jesus' presence continues to dwell with us. He will be with us till the end of days. And when he is with us, nothing, no death can separate us from being at peace. You see, whatever you're battling with, whatever fear you have, you can overcome it. Because we have Jesus who can set us free. You see, I know when I was in seminary training as a pastor, an expert in hospice came to speak to us. We did a whole month of modules and studies with him, how to journey with people through death. His expertise was basically sitting by people and seeing them die, pass away. And one story he told us was that every time people are dying, him as a man of God and understanding the things of the spirit, he could tell what is actually going on spiritually with that person. He said that most of the time when people who were not children of God or did not have a faith in God were dying, they become very tensed. They are afraid to die. There seemed to be something happening beyond the human eye that the person does not want to give in to. And so they become very tense. They are fighting to die. And that is where his expertise comes in. He speaks to them and he encourages them to move on in life. And then eventually when they die, you see, they give their body. Their body just begins. And in most cases, even when they die, you still see their body is so stiff. And in also other cases where he knows the people are committed Christians, some of them, even when they are dying, they are worshiping their Lord and they are talking of the Lord Jesus, how they are seeing God receiving them and calling them, and they are praising God in their death. And they are so relaxed and they are so at peace moving on in life. Children of God, King David is telling us something here, that the only better preparation we can have for death, for this human body moving on to the next stage in life, is having the presence of God with us. Accepting Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Not just that, but also beginning to live a life that is fully committed to him, that allows his presence to continue to be with us. So come what ever come our way. David is saying this shadow of death, the most darkest thing that can ever happen to you, he's ready to face it because the presence of the shepherd is with him. So now, why is the presence of the shepherd being with him so important? And he goes ahead and he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff. Your rod. I forgot. I didn't bring the rod. Excuse me, please.
Brother Michael, please bring my rod to my office. If you go to my table, you see it on there. My leadership rod.
Thank you. This, he's speaking using things, images that were in existence during his time. And in that time, writers and experts of the Old Testament say that during that time, shepherds who took their sheep out carried two types of instruments with them. One long instrument, which was like this, because I know you won't mind, yeah? For using it to guide the sheep. So when the sheep is going wayward, you just come, no, don't go that way. And sometimes when the sheep is going wayward, bro, I know you won't mind, that's why I'll do it. Don't go there. Yeah? Sometimes you will whack the head, don't go there. Sometimes he will punch, go. He will use it to push. So the rod was like a tool for doing his job well, being perfect at his job. And also for walking. Sometimes, you know, those times they took them on long distances for the sheep to eat. And so sometimes they are going up a hill and they are tired. And which is why you understand why the Assemblies of God gave me this. This morning, I had to whack somebody's head and I had to pull her closer. But most of the time, it is like this. It's not easy leading. If you are born to lead, you will understand. And the writer is saying that this staff, the way the shepherd uses it in dealing with him, comforts him. You see, the rod wasn't only for guiding. It wasn't only for putting away. And sometimes, as the shepherd is going with his sheep, animals, dangerous animals, predators, and sometimes even dangerous people tried to come and take their sheep from them. And so this same thing becomes a weapon for fighting enemies and fighting people and pushing away bad and dangerous animals. And in some cases, killing bad animals. And so I think it is always good, and we have begun to really come as human beings to understand that our God protects us. There is so many scriptures in the Bible that talks of the protection of God. That talks of how God is referred, so we are powerful. He is the most ultimate God and he is the most ultimate word. He fights our battle for us. This is how I fight my battle. This is how you, sometimes you come for about 20 or 40 minutes of worship. You see somebody so stiff, they won't worship, they won't do anything. And then the music team begins to sing, this is our fight. Then suddenly you realize that the person is now moving and moving their hand. Hey, I'm fighting my, Jesus is fighting my battles for me. Satan, you have no weapon against me. All things that are fashioned against me shall not prosper in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. Satan, and Christians are good at this. The protective hand of God. We depend upon, we rest upon. And this is also why some very successful people in life don't see the need for God. Because all days, if that's all that God is good for, then they don't need him. They have everything they need. They have their yachts. They have their houses. They have their servants. They have their girls. What do they need? They don't need anything. God cannot do anything for them. They are okay. So they don't need God. Because the picture here is that God will take care of you. God will protect you. God will shield you. But if he has a lot of bodyguards guiding him, he feels he's okay. And that is one way of which Christians love to describe this shepherd. He takes care of me. David himself was a very good shepherd. He protected his sheep to the extent that he killed his first this thing and resume that he wrote about himself. He told the king, Saul, he told King Saul, I have killed dangerous animals, lions and bears with my bare hand. Give me the weapons and I will go and face this Philistine. And when he said that, King Saul began to realize he wasn't dealing with some mediocre young boy. No, the guy knew how to fight. David himself was a battle-making guy. And which is also why when he was made the king, he knew when to go to war. He knew how to protect
the people of Israel. He fought, he built their army, he defended them, and so they had trust in him. And likewise, many of us have come to see this God as a very protective God and defending God and powerful God. Awesome. But there is another part of God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Young girl, don't go that way. You see, when God's stick hits you, trying to guide you, sometimes some of the sheep, that's why again he says that my sheep knows my voice and another they do not follow. When a sheep, some of the sheep try to be naughty, you are not supposed to go there and you are going, so you find that the shepherd will use the rod to hit the sheep in place. Go back. Meh, meh. Go back. Many of us do not like the discipline of God. In the church today, it should be all about love. Yes, everything that God does is because he loves us. That's even why he disciplines us. When you do something, I catch you in the office and I tell you my mind and I use the word of God. What is the word of God for? It is for reproach. It is for encouragement. It is for building up. And it is also for discipline. Many Christians don't want to hear that part of God. But the writer says, even when you discipline me, it comforts me. Child of God, begin to love God's discipline. And you know, I've come to learn this. I don't want God to discipline me. Discipline is for stubborn ones. Yield to God and you will not need to be disciplined. But even when God is taking you on a disciplinary journey, it should comfort you. You shouldn't begin to think this pastor hates me or this Christian hates me. They are judging me. Oh, Satan will tell you so many things. They hate you. They are judging you. They are pointing fingers at you. Why is it that you alone, you are going through this? Why? No. My dear sister, take it in love. Be comforted with the discipline of God. Because if God did not do that, you will go to the darkest part of life where there is no peace. And so what am I trying to say today? This morning, I'm saying to us that we have to become children of God that must understand that God disciplines in as much as he guides and he leads us. He will discipline you sometimes. If you really yield to God, you will not have to come to being disciplined. But that should comfort you. We should come to this comforting place because God's journey that he will take us on will not always be smooth. It is not always this lie that we have been told that when you accept Jesus, everything becomes perfect in your life and there is no more sorrows, there is no more weeping, there is no more struggles. It's a lie. King David is writing this, that even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That which seems to be the end of me, it is not the end of you, but it will seem like, because it's a shadow, it will seem like there is no way, there is no end. I am doomed. I am doomed. But with Jesus Christ, there's nothing like doomed. There is life for you. There is hope for you. There is assurance of joy, eternal joy with the Lord God of our soul. Child of God, begin to open up to the ways of God. Yield to the ways of God. Look, I'm not standing here talking to you as, look, I'm a human being too and I know the human ways. Some of you, I sit down and I eat with you, I talk to you and I listen to you. You got to begin to yield to the Lord Jesus. Let him lead you. He is a good shepherd. Where Jesus will lead you, nobody can lead you. I can be the best shepherd you can ever think of as a human being. But Jesus is not just a human being. He is not a human being. He came to this earth some time ago, but he is a spirit now. The valley of death. I always say this. Get a will. Prepare yourself to pass away. Grandparents, young people here, adults here, young adults, whoever you are, wherever your age is, prepare for death. It is not something you can escape. God said you shall die. And Adam and Eve did not listen. And it has now become part of human existence that no matter what, we shall be cut off on this earth. And you got to be prepared emotionally, mentally, spiritually to go peacefully. Don't be afraid. If Jesus is with you, what else? So even, I was saying to some of our elder people here, write down how you would like to be buried. I would love to bury you knowing what you wanted. Don't let it become a burden for your grandchildren or your children how to be buried. Oh, what did grandma even want? What did papa want? What did mama want? No. Prepare yourself. You know the Lord Jesus. Don't be afraid to go. Because you're going to a better place. You're going to a better place. Prepare yourself. Live for the Lord Jesus. Love him. Worship him. Honor him. Serve him. Do all this. And let his presence remain with you. And wherever you end up, it is not the end of you. It will only be the best of you. God bless you so much, my dear brothers and sisters. Grandparents, God bless you. Grandchildren, God bless you. Sons and daughters, God bless you. But I have come today to tell you that there is a gift that you can look for. Today we are going to give out some gifts here. The perfect gift that you can begin to expect is the presence of God. Do you have his presence in your life? Do you have the presence of the Lord Jesus in your life? If you don't, let us close our eyes in prayer, please. You can accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. And if you have already accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, you can even renew your relationship with him. You know where you are. You know where your life is. You can begin to say, Lord, I need you. I'm sorry for the times I've disobeyed you. Come into my life afresh and lead me. Cast me not away from thy presence. David did some silly things, but he knew how to go back and make amends with God. You can make amends today. Renew your relationship with God and don't die an eternal damnation. Die a dying of peace and joy and hope in the Holy Spirit. Please pray in Jesus' name.